All right. I want to share a few revelations with you. This one's called You Choose, America. It's a dream from a prophetic watchman is how I received it. That was the title I received on it. And I do believe that the repentance and the prayers of the saints will make this choice. It's not really a question of the righteousness of the American people. There is no people. There is no nation out there that serves the Lord. But we saw that Esther, by the way, had the ear of the king, and she was the one that swayed the situation in her time, and I believe it's happening in this time, too. So let me share this with you. I was on the tarmac in an airport. Hillary Clinton was disembarking from a very expensive airplane. She came right up to me and jabbed me with her finger and was very close to me, trying to tell me something. And I looked at her, and her eyes were all wonky, kind of looking the wrong way. And she had some sort of nervous tic going on in her face. She looked at me and then pointed towards the White House. I could feel how much she wanted this, to be there. As she did this, a blood-red sun appeared behind the White House and glowed. And I believe this represents death to the body of Christ and many Americans that will be brought about by her administration, should she be in there. The next part gets a little graphic, so I apologize, Prophetic Watchman says here. Blood appeared around the White House and started to fill up its hallways, because it's guilty of much blood. It kept flowing until it was near the tops of the hallways. And as this happened, small handprints of children in blood marked the walls. I believe this is the children of God, Christians, and Americans too. The blood flowed out from the White House until it flooded America. They were trying to erect some sort of... Let me just say first that the plan that they've had, according to the dreams that we've discovered, the plan is to kill the Christians and Americans using ISIS and others in this country. Okay? That's why the blood was flowing out of the White House. That's what would happen if she went in there. They were trying to erect some sort of a statue. This statue was a woman in a very small toga-ish looking outfit. She had a goblet of wine, and her head was back, laughing. She has babies, curiously, around her, around the statue. But she didn't seem concerned for them, and wasn't holding them or anything. They were literally slogging through about 3 feet of blood to get this statue up. And they succeeded. Well, I believe that an idol, this is talking about an idol to the harlot who is guilty of the blood of the saints, Revelation 18:24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. And after this happened, a nuclear bomb hit us. Well, I believe that shortly after this election, we will see Revelation 6 and 3, we will see the man-child first, Revelation 6, 1 and 2, and then 6, 3 will come, a nuclear war of the Red Horse Rider. Okay, so this may be a timing of that happening after the president is put in office. The earth was scorched and black, and there was literally hardly any people left. The food was gone. The water was poisoned. Hillary sat in the White House, surrounded by jewels and food, and she laughed at the people. Her head was thrown back and laughing. Okay, there's another vision that went with this one, and I'm going to share it with you, but because of the repentance and prayers and the warfare of the Esther bride and the Mordecai man-child, against Haman, and his people. This next part is what I believe we will see for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. First, the man-child will be anointed and a cooperating government in the U.S., much like you saw with Daniel and Joseph and so on and so forth, right? There was a cooperating government when the man-child came in, right? A new government came at the beginning of the wilderness tribulation for God's people because Pharaoh and his people were killed in the Red Sea. So that was, of course, the beginning of the wilderness, which is the beginning of the tribulation. And Esther, the bride, and Mordecai, the man-child, of course, they had their problem with Haman, and Haman died before the man-child was anointed. Okay, so now here's the next part of the vision. And it could be a warning that it's either the first part or the second part. Okay? And the next part of the vision was Donald Trump was in the White House. As he walked through the halls, wheat fields sprang up all around the United States. I would say that's fruit, a revival, you know. People were in these fields, and quite a few children. That's maybe new people coming into the kingdom. The children were holding hands and singing. Again, revival. There was a feeling of well-being and happiness. Now, here's the surprising part. A nuclear bomb or some other kind of bombs still hit us. As the bombs hit the United States, the wheat fields absorbed them, making them harmless. Is this due to the righteousness of the saints that God did not permit this to bring destruction upon America or at least the saints? Could be. The more we got hit, the more the children sang. Donald Trump turned to me at a podium, pointed to the sky, and said, "They're still coming, but now we're ready." Okay, so this seems to be a thought thrown back to the first part of the vision, right? That they wouldn't be ready with evil in the White House. There would be great persecution. But now we're ready, he says. I think the nuclear war will come as the second red horse rider that takes peace from the earth in Revelation 6 and 3. But now it will be survived, right? Yeah, I don't think you can change the scriptures. The scriptures is clear that taking peace from the earth and the blood and death that comes from that is going to happen. Donald Trump chuckled like a dad would and smiled at me. He turned towards the people with great affection and fatherly kindness. He really cared for them like they were his own. Donald Trump was then trying to drag a cross onto the top of the White House. I suggest he's probably speaking about trying to submit the government to God. The Bible codes say, "He came to me." It seems pretty apparent that he's going to come to God and may have even made a step in that direction already. We don't know. We'll find out. He was encountering some opposition. Well, I guarantee you that. And I don't know if he made it to the top or not. What it means is they don't know if he completely succeeded or not. Well, I can almost guarantee you he's not going to completely succeed. But he was trying very hard. He was sweating on his brow. And the last part of the dream was the people in the fields looking up at the sky, where that was where there was some grayish clouds and a disturbance. They were looking up expectantly, but not afraid. That was the end of the dream. I'm suggesting that that's probably looking up at the beginning of the trib and the things that are coming up on the world, right? Now, let me say something. I mean, it could be either or. Either the first part or the second part. We've received revelations like that already. In fact, I shared that with you many months ago because of the difference in prophecies about who was going in there. I said it was going to be an either-or thing. It was either going to be Hillary because God was not pleased with what was going on, or God would have mercy and Trump would go in and give us a relative 3.5 years of peace to have our revival. Okay? I thought that was what all the different prophecies meant. But here's the condition for what I just read. It's Jeremiah 18 and 7 through 10. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it, if that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. I got to tell you, I think it is the nation within the nation here that is going to sway this one way or the other, and that's God's people. Okay. 9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant it, which was part 2 here, right? If they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Some people say God can't change his mind. He already knows what he's going to do if people don't repent and people don't exercise their faith. Okay? So, I thought this was very interesting. And I do think devastation and destruction and blood and death will be in the Clinton presidency. I don't doubt that the cheating that's going on may initially point that she has won this, but the only way she can do it is by cheating. And I think it'll be temporary if that happens. Don't ask me how. I don't know. Okay. Now here's another one. And we call this one Faction in the Government. Pamela Orr received this on October the 31st, okay? And she said, I dreamt of a large airliner that was on the ground but was being hijacked. Oh, this is why I said what I said a minute ago. I believe this large airliner is the United States, and hijacked means the elections are being rigged and stolen by fractioning votes in the main computers. And it's obviously, you can look at all over the internet and see exactly what's going on there. Bev Harris, I believe, is the lady's name, who's done an awful lot of research, put together videos. Bev, B-E-V, Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. And it's astounding. In 4 seconds, they can change over the overwhelming majority of the United States, the votes, by fractionalizing one side or the other. And they've been doing this since 1991, by the way. If you want to know why we've had these presidents that we've had. But it's absolutely proven. Pamela goes on, she said, Melania Trump. Now, Melania Trump, I believe here, represents the body of the president. The new administration. Well, anyway, Melania Trump came forward and offered to save the plane by making negotiations with the hijackers. I don't think she succeeded. Well, let me say that the body of the new government will negotiate with the previous administration, who are the hijackers of this plane in every way. They hijacked it in the first place through vote stealing. Okay, it appears that there has not been an honest vote count since 91, like I said. Could immunity from prosecution be what the hijackers tried to bargain for but failed to get? I really don't know. I've thought about it. That's just one thought that comes to me. there, it's a high probability that sooner or later, unless a total dictatorship comes immediately, there will be a prosecution. So anyway, Pam said, sometimes later the plane did take off, but in a compromised state with a crack in it. Okay, here's what I think about this. The crack represents faction in this criminal government that will help bring it down, I believe, and turn the plane over to the new administration eventually. They're ratting on one another right now, and it's crumbling in front of our faces. And the vote's swinging very quickly to Trump, even worse than what the polls say. But, of course, the reason they're keeping the polls so close is because if they cheat, it won't be recognized. So I think if is not, maybe not even a question. I believe they will try to do it because that's why they've done this with the polls. Okay, anyway, the plane is compromised in the beginning until they get rid of the embedded factious Ishmaelite, Edomite, liberal enemy throughout the government. And it won't be any good until the whole government is reformed. And the crack represents the factious that I believe the Father has allowed in because of rebellion in his people to return the fear of the Lord to his people. And so we'll see. We'll see what the Lord shows us, brings to pass, right? As I was observing from the air, a woman passenger slid out of her seat and was sucked out of the plane through the crack a short time after liftoff. She tried to land in a river but failed and lost her life. Well, the thought that came to me immediately was that this is Hillary. Hillary leaves through faction, through the crack, right? But dies. She knows too much. I believe it's possible that God, through the powers that be, will not let her live. But anyway, after, or at least live for very long, and after I shared this Hillary interpretation with Pam, she said, the woman that I saw could very well have been Hillary Clinton because she is about the same age, race, and hair color. Okay. So I thought that was a confirmation because she didn't tell me that right off, you know. Felt like a confirmation. So we're obviously, however this works out, we're headed towards a very shaky time, very quickly. And a lot of disagreement. And if they try to cheat, there'll be a lot of people stand up and say, no, we don't accept this. And so my prayer is that they will be too afraid to cheat because the attention has already been brought out to the fact that it's so easy for them to cheat on this that it's already designed into the computer programs of the election machines. It's already in there. They've proven it. The people that put it there admitted they put it in there. So, I mean, they'd be stupid to go ahead, but I'm not saying they're not stupid enough to do it. Okay, I'm just saying they'd be stupid to go ahead with this attempt. But we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot we don't know, right? And God's just giving us little peeks here and there. But anyway, I want to share this with you, too. This is Ken Dewey's revelation on October the 26th. He called it Light Arrow, and I called it Light Arrow into the Enemy's Heart. Light Arrow, okay? I shared this with our local brethren on Friday, October the 28th. And since the 30th, much has come to pass to prove the Lord is fighting against the criminals in the government. So I believe that all of this will come to pass. The reason I said since the 30th is there was a time period here. I'm going to share it with you. And Ken said, this morning as we began our morning devotions, prophetic words of importance began to come. I got my writing pad and prepared to write, and I saw an archer standing with his bow ready to shoot the arrow. I heard the Lord talking about something fixing to happen quickly. He said to me, "How many days until the election?" I said, 14. That's because he received this on the 26th, right? 14 days till the election when he first got this. He received it on the 26th. I shared it on the 28th. And all the notes that are in here, too, I shared on the 26th. I said 14, I believe. And then he said, "During the days before the election day, prepare, because before the election there will be 10 days of testing on America. And I will send my light arrow," and L-I-G-H-T, light arrow. Okay. So the 10 days started on October the 30th. Light represents a revelation of darkness, right? Arrow represents judgment, and many times in the scriptures it's used for words. So revelations of gross darkness in this administration have been coming out since that day and before, but especially since that day. But it will take authority and prayer for anything to come of this, since the Justice Department and the FBI have done little to prosecute the offenses. These things that have come out, they would have all been prosecuted very quickly, not that long ago. Now they tend to ignore everything, for goodness sake. Yeah. And that's because the criminals have something on most of the people that are in the position to do this. So, they're walking on tiptoes, the Justice Department, the FBI. But there's a big rebellion in the FBI and in the Justice Department, and people are coming forward and giving out information, which didn't come from Russia. It came from inside our own government. That's where it came from. The government thing is this: their craziness that they want to go. These are mad people. They're demon-possessed people. I mean, they want to have a war with Russia. How crazy can you get? So we've prayed against that, and we can pray against some of this, right? God gives you information so that you know what to pray about. And he does change things, as we have seen many times. And right now, I'd like to pray. As a matter of fact, Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you would give us a quicker, easier solution to this. I know you're going to show everybody how bad these criminals are, and it's all going to eventually come out. But I'd like you to slap them down pretty quickly, Lord. I just ask and pray that you do that. And I hope everyone out there is praying in agreement with that and going forward to spiritual warfare. Well, he's answering your prayers, saints. That's all I can say. He's answering your prayers. There's no reason not to think he's going to continue to do that. So, you know, keep on pressing your point. And so Ken said, "I broke in on Celeste, who was praying, and I asked her to look up a verse speaking about arrows being shot. To my surprise, she had already opened her Bible to Psalm 64. She began to read, and I heard words describing what I had been hearing the Lord say to me for some months now, even years, in many prophetic words. This psalm," this is my thought now, "this psalm speaks of faction in the government." It's been given to us many times of the faction against God's people that's out there. But in this case, God is using it to speak of faction in the government, revealing the corruption. And the faction against the man, child, and bride, I believe, will be overturned too, you know, in regard to this. But that's another point. And I also see a judgment against the United States here. When we speak about the mountain of corruption and cast it down by faith, you remember Jesus was crossing the Mount of Olives, which they call the Mount of Corruption. And he talked to his disciples about speaking to the mountain and casting it into the sea with their faith, you know. So we've got a mountain of corruption here. Mountains represent kingdoms. And so we've got a mountain of corruption here. And thank you, saints, for agreeing together to exercise your authority and your faith to cast it down. So then Ken puts the Amplified Version of Psalm 64, 1 through 10 here. And I'll read it to you. Psalm 64, 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Guard my life from the terror of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel and conspiracy of the ungodly. Good prayer. Good prayer. Do it. Do it, saints. Pray that. From the scheming of those who do wrong. And my thought here is it's the planned secret war against Christians by the invaders. This secret Muslim war to overthrow the U.S., I believe, is in full bloom. They're just waiting for their chance. And I heard some policemen were killed just yesterday. So watch out. They're going to do some things, I believe. Watch out for a false flag. Watch out for a lot of things, you know. And pray them down. Pray them all down. Verse 3. Who have sharpened their tongues like a sword. They aim venomous words as arrows to shoot from ambush at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him without fear. They encourage themselves in their pursuit of an evil agenda. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, "Who will discover us?" Well, I'm guessing they got a shock because they just discovered this key, this magic fractionalizing that's in the software already hooked up to the election machines and so on and so forth. They can do it. They devise acts of injustice, saying, "We are ready with a well-conceived plan." But God is still in heaven, right? And they're still upon the earth, a bunch of ants, thinking they run things, right? For the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep, or mysterious, or unsearchable, right? But God, there it is, but God will shoot them with an unexpected arrow. And I say, of light and of light on their corruptions. He's bringing it all out. That light arrow dispels the darkness, scatters the darkness, right? Suddenly, they will be wounded. They will be caused to stumble. Their own tongue is against them. Sounds kind of like the emails, doesn't it? Or ratting on one another like they're doing right now. Even lovers like Hillary and what's her name? They have fallen out with one another, which is a good thing. That's what we prayed for. We prayed for that all the wicked would fall out with one another and tell on one another. All who gaze at them will shake the head in scorn. Then all men will fear God's judgment, right? They will declare the work of God. They will consider and wisely acknowledge that He has done what He has done. I mean, obviously, you know, if the Muslims are right, of course, and God is behind their righteous cause, they would would do this thing. And they've been, of course, plotting and scheming, just like this thing says, to do this, along with Obama and Hillary. And we've seen the dreams. It's very clear. But if God turns this all around, a lot of people are going to believe in another God. And I'm looking forward to that. Verse 10 says, "The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in Him. And all the upright in heart will glory and offer praise." Amen. "The Lord then said to me," Ken said, "write this down. 10 days are determined upon the enemies of America, beginning 10 days before the actual election. I will send my arrow into their heart." My thought is that the truth revealing the heart of the enemy in D.C. And what is the heart of the country? Isn't it D.C.? Huh? "I will send my arrow into their heart, smite them within to shake them without." 10 days of shaking. Well, we can see that this is a spiritual earthquake that God is shaking the establishment with in D.C. Praise God. Who'd have thunk it? I mean, it's so powerful. And just in a matter of days, many things have turned around, you know. So, God says, "Because I am who I am, do not be afraid, only believe." It's important. Bible says, believe its prophets, right? Prophecies come so that we believe, and God can use our faith and words like an arrow to take down the enemy. And, of course, we need to pray for that. Well, Father, we ask and we believe that you will reveal the lawless, murdering, lying, slanderous, fornicating, self-righteous, deceptive principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness, and put them and their human hosts on the run. We thank you, Father, for doing this, for sending confusion in their midst and scattering them. And let the humans be in fear and let paranoia take them over, that justice will come upon them. Let them be divided and rat on one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Again, this is in the prophetic voice here. "Simultaneous shaking of many events will stop them suddenly." I'd say it's coming to a screeching halt already. "Out of control." Yes, they are. "Yes, no man knows. I will walk among them." That's a visitation. We know about visitations. We've been having those prophecies for quite a while. "I will walk among them. I can because I am. My feet shall shake them." Well, just remember all the visitations of the Lord that we've received were with earthquakes. Isn't that something? I do think that there is spiritual earthquakes leading up to a physical earthquake. Okay? Anyway, going on in this prophetic voice, "They who scheme in the dark will fall hard, openly, for all to see. My arrow will be like a flash of light, my light arrow," which I believe represents the knowledge of the slanderers and the schemers revealed by the light. Amen? Again, in the prophetic voice, "Suddenly all will be turned upside down." I think we're beginning to see that now. The tide will be turned on the cheaters. The election will be flipped, and them too, with jail for some, probably. Yeah, again, in the prophetic voice, "Many important heads will roll like falling stones on a shaking mountain." And I believe the mountain is the kingdom of Babylon, America, right? As it is. The world will see my light arrow to awaken men who see not to see me. Well, again, I do believe that this is going to bring a lot of attention to the Lord, the real Lord. The Islamization in America will take a major blow with the fall of this government. And he signs it, Desert Prophet. All right. I'll share a few words with you while I got time of things that we have received. I believe a spiritual shaking may lead to a physical shaking. So you make up your mind which this is talking about or both. Patty Hatcher received in our morning prayer meeting this verse about shaking and mountains, just what we were just speaking about. And that was, I believe, on the 10/28. Yes, the 28th. And also, back on the 6th, she received the same text. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. Mountains can be kingdoms, or mountains can be mountains. Selah, verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. I think we are right early, and I believe that that's what he's doing, helping her, so helping Zion, the city of God. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Could be volcanic activity. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And Anna Stewart received this on the next day, on the 7th. And I put these, and all of these are, I think, on the 7th, except I added one on the 28th here, which was the same one. But this is when the Lord spoke to us in one day, just a whole bunch of verses concerning this. And, of course, I put these notes. I'm sharing this with you with the notes that I put in back on the 7th, so I'm sharing that with you. Isaiah 24:18, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. Well, now, let's see. Who was it that fell out of the airplane through the crack? And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth tremble. And the earth is utterly broken. The earth is rent asunder. The earth is shaken violently. The earth shall stagger like a drunken man, and shall sway to and fro like a hammock. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish the hosts of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. There it is. Punish the hosts of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together. In other words, they're going to die. As prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days they shall be visited. Yep, after 1,000 years, right? Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders shall be glory. Well, I believe this administration is going to be taken down by earthquake, spiritual and ultimately physical. We'll see. At any rate, I got this on the 7th. And this is the comment that I had on it. God will then bring justice to this administration, and the nations will fear him like Pharaoh in the Red Sea. That was my comment back then. And Psalm 67:1-66:6. God be merciful to us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou wilt judge the peoples with equity. Boy, that is something we need bad, because there hadn't been any such judgment or honesty or justice out there. It's total corruption, total organized crime. And govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. I suggest when you get through praying and commanding and casting down, that you just start praising the Lord, right? The earth hath yielded its increase. God, even our own God, will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Yeah, they're going to see what happened here. In Psalm 68:1, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. So here's that visitation, and with earthquakes. In 66:6, it says, a voice of tumult from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. I asked for two words, and I got those two. Isaiah 67:1 through 68:2, and then the second word was Isaiah 66:6. 666. And on the 7th, again, Sue Gilbert got this text with also with my original notes. Jeremiah 12:14, thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors, kind of like this administration, that touches the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Yeah, they think they're ruling over us, but actually it's the other way around. When you got faith and you got holiness, you're in control. Behold, I will pluck them up from off their land, that is this administration, and will pluck up the house of Judah from among them, brethren returning from Babylonish captivity. And it shall come to pass that after that I have plucked them up, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. Of course, we rejoice over this because this is what we prayed for so much, is that God's people who were taken into captivity through faction and witchcraft would be loosed and they would be freed. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord liveth, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built up in the midst of my people. But if they will not hear, then will I pluck up that nation, plucking up and destroying it, says the Lord. Yes, we've said from the beginning, he said that some will be saved and some will be reprobated. And Michael Hare, on that 7th, with my original notes, got Matthew 27:33. And they were come unto a place called Golgotha. That is to say, the place of the skull. And my note was, the hurricane skull on radar, I'm sure many of you saw that, it was a perfect skull, even had the teeth in it and everything, it was amazing, is a sign of the coming end of the crucifixion of the man-child. And of course, after that's the resurrection of the man-child, that would be like Haman being smitten, and his people being smitten, and then Mordecai being anointed. That's the resurrection anointing, right? So the timing and everything is there. And with my original notes on the 7th also, Patty Hatcher dreamed that she was in a house looking at a plastic cup and saw the water in it shake. And she screamed, earthquake! And turned off the burners and went out into an open area. She asked, did you feel the earthquake? But they said, no, it was only a tremor. Could have been because she's a long ways from those. I don't know. But she got, when she asked for a verse for this, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1 through 12. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, even as it is meet, that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of each one of you all towards one another aboundeth. I believe this is happening in the bride, you know. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. It's a crucifixion of the flesh, right? Of course. For which you also suffer. We do suffer for the kingdom of God. And if so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, in other words, judgment on our enemies, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Do you think that's happening? He said he was going to show up and walk in the midst of them and shake them. And here we talk about the angels coming and rendering vengeance. Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, which I believe he is doing, and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Of course, it's those that believe the word of God who come into the image of Jesus Christ and are glorified. He is glorified in them, and they are glorified in him, right? To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. That's awesome. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, with my original notes on the 7th, Brandy got, he asked, will Trump be president? Well, I believe he got how Trump will be president. Joel 1:14 says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the old men and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. We have judgment coming, saints, very quickly now. The day of the Lord is judgment on the wicked. I'm not talking about the physical interpretation and timing of this. I'm just talking about what you see in the text. Let it describe to you what God wants to say to you about the situation we're in now. The day of the Lord is judgment on the wicked who attack God's people, just as in Joel. And in chapter 2, this brought revival after smiting the northern army. Amen. Sennacherib. And then he also got Job 5 and 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He will deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he will redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. And I suppose we could go on, but thinking we're running out of time here. So, Father, Lord, we just put our faith together today to believe you're going to do an excellent job and impress the whole world that you are God in bringing down this evil administration and in raising up one that we can live in peace and get this revival out and concentrate on these things rather than dodging bombs and bullets and ISIS. And thank you, Father. Thank you for doing this, Lord. It appears that way in the Gospels, that the first 3.5 years, you as the man-child led the disciples and were able to teach and so on and so forth. And it wasn't a major time of war. That didn't come until the second 3.5 years, which is represented by the 40 years, Tribulation 2, that the disciples soloed without Jesus and were eventually each one of them killed, except for one, and doing the work of the gospel. And of course, we have a second 3.5 years in which the beast will make war on the saints. So that's why I've said this is a premature, as we received a revelation of that, a word for that, a premature time for the beast to make war on the saints, and that's why I think it's going to be put back. And God, of course, is asking repentance and faith and exercising your casting the mountains into the sea, saints, so do it. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for showing us these things. Show us more, Lord. We still see so little and understand so little. We just ask, Father, that you would bless us and grant us grace to be pleasing unto you, Lord, so that our prayers would be answered and that we would have dominion over the wicked and so on and so forth. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.